About a month ago, we left Egypt. Now, not literally. We didn't. I think most of us, not sure anybody here been to Egypt literally? No, we haven't been to Egypt literally, but symbolically, we left Egypt. We had for months, discussed, reflected on Israel coming out of bondage. And, after 430 years, on that very day, the very day, the armies of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt, as it says in Exodus 12. Now, we know the story. It was easy for them, right? It was easy for them. But no, we know that's not true. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 32. It wasn't easy for them. It wasn't an easy journey for them. Now, they had their issues. When you read, I think sometimes the wanderings of the children of Israel, when you read through those, they're fascinating stories. It talks about the fact that they were somewhat hard-headed. When you look and sometimes you think about the logistics and some of the things that went on and how, something would happen and they would do things and thousands would die. And, the next day they were complaining again. And it seemed like they had a hard time sometimes getting the point. But here in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 13, I think I wrote down the wrong verse, but Numbers 32 and verse 13. Let me see if I have the right verse written down. Yeah, it is the correct verse. It says, "The Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So they wandered, as we know this story, they wandered in the wilderness. That word wander is a little bit of an interesting word, and it means to make go up and down. Just what we would think of, just wander around. To make go up and down, or to be gone away, or to move, or to stagger to and fro. Or to be vagabond, or wander. So they wandered for 40 years. But don't we sometimes feel their pain a little bit? Don't we sometimes feel their pain? Don't we sometimes feel like, when is this going to be over? When is this, we have been stuck in a trial. We all are, aren't we? We all have situations and trials that just don't seem to go away. I've had those situations in my life. It just seems like, sometimes you feel like you just get to the hump and something else flares up or turns up. We have health trials and financial trials and family trials. And, you can put the word there. We struggle with those things sometimes and we feel like we kind of feel their pain and they just don't go away. We feel the pain of those who wandered in the wilderness a little bit, don't we? But we have to keep going, don't we? We have to just keep going. I said a month ago we left Egypt. It's actually been much longer than that. A month ago, I think today is what, the 24th, 25th, the 25th maybe. The 22nd was the last day of unleavened bread. And so we went through, 22nd of April, I think. So we went through a period of time where we focused on this. We discussed the children of Israel. We focused on this a little bit. But it's been actually much longer for us, hasn't it? Much longer for us that we've been involved in this journey. And it's a wonderful journey. We see things like in accord. It's a wonderful journey that we're on. We're very fortunate. We're very fortunate that we can be involved in this journey. But sometimes, the day gets a little long at times, doesn't it? Sometimes it can be a little bit of a wandering, a little bit of a struggle for us. But, you know, we know in an overall sense that we're very fortunate that we understand the truth of God and that we have something, we have the solutions. You know, Mr. Guy was talking a little bit about that. We have the solutions. We understand future events. We have the solutions for the future. Not just the future. We have the solutions for now. We have those. We can understand, you know, the way of give. The way of give and how important it is for us to give to others. So we've been doing this for many, many years. Many of us have been wandering, so to speak, in that sense. And I started coming to church in 1969. So that's, what, 40-some years ago. 40-some years ago. 45 years ago. Unbelievable, isn't it, how time marches. 45 years ago. You know, I sometimes think that, you know, I went to the Red Sea in 1982, that's when the year I got baptized. So, you know, symbolically going through the Red Sea in 1982, many, many years, some 32 years ago. So we've been on this journey for a long time, many of us, haven't we? For a long time. Jeremiah chapter 12, back to the book of Jeremiah chapter 12. We've been on a journey. And it's a wonderful journey, but it has its moments. It has its struggles, and sometimes we need to be reminded of things, encouraged about things in every aspect of our life, and certainly in this aspect of our life, because this is the important aspect in our life. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "If you have run with the footmen." Now, the footman there means soldier, or the contemporary English version says, if you get tired in a race against people, if you get tired, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, they have wearied you. Sometimes we can get a little weary. Sometimes we can get a little weary with it. How can you contend with the horses? So we get tired sometimes, don't we? Do we get tired? We get tired. I've noticed that from a physical sense, especially as I've gotten older, I get more tired. I don't rebound quite as quickly as I used to. But in a spiritual sense, we have to be careful sometimes that we don't get tired. We don't get tired, and that we don't, as Mr. Guy mentioned again in the sermonette, that we don't let down, that we can't compromise in any way. We can't compromise in any way with what God is doing, with what God is teaching us. We cannot compromise. We cannot let down spiritually. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So we have to run the race, don't we? We can't be wearied by the race. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Can't be wearied. We can't let down. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And we'll get to the crux of what we're really going to speak about today. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, that's a hard thing for us to do, isn't it? As human beings, we get weighed down, don't we? We get bogged down with the cares of life, with the things that go on in our lives. It's hard for us sometimes to take this instruction here in Hebrews chapter 12 to lay aside every weight. We have to, as it says in 2 Peter, cast our cares on Him because He cares for you. And we know we can do that. But to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And that is so true, isn't it? That is so true. It says in Psalm 119, I think about 132, talks about that we cannot let iniquity rule our lives. Do not let iniquity rule your life. Do not let sin rule your life. So we have to put aside, the sin that so easily ensnares us. And then it says, let us run with endurance. Run with endurance. It means we have to keep running, don't we? We have to keep going. We have to keep our head up. We have to keep running. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we run this race. We've been, again, in running this race here between, after we've gone now through the Red Sea. All of us have gone through the Red Sea symbolically. And we were baptized, which is the Red Sea being a symbol of that. We were baptized. We've gone through the Red Sea symbolically. And now we have to run the race. We have to keep running, don't we? We have to keep going and going and going like the ever-ready bunny. Just keep going and going and going. Never let down. A race we're running is not a quick race. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a longer race for us, much longer than the 100-yard dash. It's longer even than the 2-mile. We might say, and we might be familiar with the marathon. We might say it's a marathon race. Those are grueling races. That marathon came out of Greece. I think there's a little village in Greece where someone ran from to get to Athens, and they ran to give some good news of a victory of a war, and they ran this grueling time. So it's not a short dash that we're on. We're on a marathon. We're running a long race, and it's a race that all of us want to finish. It's not about necessarily getting there first, is it? Although we are, as we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks when we get to the Feast of Pentecost, we'll talk a little bit of, there'll be some discussion, what we read and study, that we are the first fruits of, we are first fruits, and we're not better, but we're first. And God has set that in order that way. But everyone who finishes the race is a winner. Now, I have to tell you that if I ran a marathon and I would finish it in about 3 weeks, I would probably feel like a winner too. But everyone in this race that we're running is a winner. Everyone is a winner. It's a long and grueling and sometimes torturous run, like a marathon. They can be long and grueling. And it takes hours in a physical way, physically to run a marathon. Like I say, it'd probably take me about weeks. But it's a long and grueling race that we're on. And as we read here in Hebrews chapter 12, we are to run the race with endurance. We run that race that is set. It's set before us. This God brought us through the Red Sea, and He set us on this path, this race. He set it before us. And we're to run that race with endurance. And so I have today 6 points to help us keep running. 6 points, positive things, things that we can do to help us to keep running. We need to keep running the race. We've made a commitment, haven't we? When we came through and God called us, began to call us into His truth, and we began to study some of these foundational principles, and we realize that it's a journey, and it's a race that we can't put our hands to and turn back. Now, unfortunately, we have over the years seen that from many people. Many people. Sad for us, isn't it? To think that there are 35 or 40 of us here when there used to be 300 or 400. It's kind of sad for us to realize that many stopped running the race. They've stopped running the race, but we really can't, can we? We can't put our hands, so to speak, to the plow and turn back. We have to keep running, keep going forward. So number one I have as a point to help us keep running is to stay motivated. Stay motivated. Keep your eye on the prize. You know, what motivates us? What motivates you? Think about your day-to-day life. What motivates you to get up in the morning? What motivates you to get through the day? What motivates you to do what you do? Usually you have a goal, don't you? There's something, and we have a goal. We have a finish line that we're heading for in this race. And it's more of a, we don't know when than a where. Daniel chapter 7 is a scripture that I think we all need to keep in mind all the time. Helps us every day. There are certain scriptures that I pray about personally frequently. One of those scriptures is in Psalm 119. But in Daniel chapter 7, in verse 27, is an important scripture for us to be mindful of. To keep in mind, to recognize that when we get those down moments, when the race gets grueling, and we're tired, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27 says, "Then the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole earth shall be given to the people." Who are the people? We are. We're the people. The saints, as it says, of the Most High. We are those people. That God is wanting to give us the kingdom. That should motivate us, brethren. That should motivate us to want to stay the course. To want to continue to run with endurance the race that is set before us. It should motivate us to realize this. You know, sometimes it's us. It means you. Means you, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions will serve and obey Him. Now that's, you know, I sometimes sit and muse and meditate on what it will be like when everybody will serve Him. What's that going to be like? Think about that as you meditate and think about how things will be when everybody will serve Him. Right now, we serve ourselves, don't we, oftentimes? We struggle with that. We're working to overcome that in our lives and move beyond that and recognize that our service needs to be for others. You know, that we're called to serve. And that's a great purpose that we have. But, you know, what a wonderful time it will be when all dominions shall serve and obey God. How much easier it will be, you know, for us, for our children, when everybody keeps the Sabbath. What kind of an atmosphere it will be when God's people, you know, are all obeying God and encouraging one another. We'll get into that a little bit more just a little bit later. So, you know, we need to concentrate on finishing the race. You know, many runners can give up and quit. Sometimes just a few miles short of the finish line. That's so sad for us to see, isn't it? Luke chapter 14, one of those foundational basic scriptures that we all read as we went through the process of conversion and being baptized. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother." Now, of course, you know, we've read this many times and we understand that to be love less by comparison. We don't literally hate our fathers and our mothers, but we love that we put God first. That's what it means. Put God first. Love less by comparison. Wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life. Sometimes we focus on those other things, the mother, the father, the children, the brothers, the sisters, our own life. He also cannot be my disciple. So we have to make sure that we give ourselves over completely. We can evaluate that, and we just came through that evaluation process. We can evaluate that in our lives. So we need to, brethren, make sure that we stay motivated and keep the picture of the kingdom of God clearly focused in our mind, so that can be our motivation, and that we can recognize everything that means. And that's not just a selfish motive, but it's a motive that involves the whole world understanding what we know and experience, and involves everyone keeping, as we read there in Daniel, everyone obeying God. Point number two on helping us to keep running the race. Point number two is train. Train. You know, an important element of an athlete, whether a runner or whatever endeavor, is the train, isn't it? To train, to constantly review, constantly work on the fundamentals. Constantly do that, to always work on and keep training. Training is such an important aspect in every endeavor in our lives. You know, one of the things that we face as a country here in the United States is that our unemployment is high. And one of the focuses that we've been trying to focus on, it's been difficult for them to focus on it, is retraining our workforce to be able to do things for jobs that are needed today. Some of the things, you know, people were trained for back in the 70s and 80s are not specific things that maybe are needed today. So they try to retrain. Training is a very important part of what we need to do as Christians. As we're running this race, we need to continually keep training ourselves, keep updating ourselves, sharpening the saw, so to speak. It's a continuous process, that we continue the training process. We don't stop training ever. We keep training. We keep learning, don't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, spiritually, we are in training as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. So we have to keep training. Keep constantly learning and growing. Keep constant. That's why, you know, one of the reasons certainly that every year we keep the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. We keep evaluating ourselves. We keep examining ourselves so that we can see where we need training, where we have shortcomings, where we're missing the mark, and we need training. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25 says that everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, or moderate. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. We, an imperishable crown. We are training. We're in training for an imperishable crown. It's not like a runner in a race physically. Sometimes in certain races, they may get paid. You know, if a runner wins an Olympic gold medal, they do very well, don't they? They might get paid, or they have all kind of endorsements. They get all kind of monies. They get trophies. They get a gold medal to hang around their neck. Those are perishable, aren't they? Those are perishable items. We are running our race and training for an imperishable crown, something that will never perish, as we read there in Daniel again. So it takes discipline, doesn't it? It takes discipline to train every day. Every day. So we pray and we study. And then what do? We live the life, don't we? We live the life. We read. We pray and ask God for His guidance and His help. And then we live what we lead, what we read, rather, and what we learn. We're training. We're in training, aren't we? Point number three is equip yourself. Equip yourself. We could have done these in a different order. But, you know, it's the spring season, and I don't know if track season is still going or not. But you know, if we went over here to the track here at YSU, right around the block here, went over to the track, and they were having a track meet there, we probably wouldn't see their runners running in blue jeans and cowboy boots. That wouldn't be the right equipment, would it, for the race that they're running? So we have to make sure that we are constantly equipping ourselves with the right equipment and doing the things that we need to do. You know, in football, they no longer wear leather helmets. You know, I remember as a young guy, sometimes we played football, and several times, we would play tackle football without any equipment at all, which was kind of foolish, probably. But they're constantly looking to develop helmets for football players so that it protects their head. You know, if you see a bicyclist oftentimes going down the road, they have little helmets for their head, so they have the right equipment. So we in our spiritual race need to also have the right equipment, don't we? Need to have the right equipment. Ephesians chapter 6, we need to have and develop the right equipment so that we can be equipped and constantly develop this equipment. You know, as we learn more, you know, as better equipment becomes available. You know, Mr. Myers a few months ago gave us a message on Bible helps. You know, and there constantly are things becoming available for us. You know, we have a new magazine now that's been out for a few months, Discern Magazine. We have Life, Hope, and Truth with all kinds of articles. We have a lot of equipment. There are a lot of ways to equip ourselves. A lot of things we can, a lot of tools available at our disposal to equip ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, beginning in verse 13, says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Equipment. We need this equipment, the whole armor of God, to equip ourselves, that you may stand, may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I jumped in the wrong place there, but it was a good point. That you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So as we go through this race, we need to have the right equipment. It says, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Well, that word girded means wrap around. John 17:17, God's word is truth. We need God's truth wrapped around ourselves. We need to have it encase our whole body, wrapped around ourselves, covering ourselves with God's truth. And again, in order to do that, we have to, of course, get into the book and learn the truth more deeply. So stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, this breastplate that covers our chest of righteousness, of doing the right thing, of doing what is right. That's an action word of something to do, isn't it? Put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we're to be peaceful. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we can quench those fiery darts if we have that shield of faith, that total trust and confidence. The evidence of things, as it says in Hebrews, things not seen. That total trust and confidence in God. And take, verse 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we have equipment available to us, don't we? We have this equipment available to us. It's wonderful. The best equipment we could possibly have. So, you know, as we run this race, we need to equip ourselves. Point number 4, compete. Compete. You know, be determined, really, is what this point is about. Be determined. I remember a story I heard years ago about a tennis player that was very good, but she wasn't good enough to be a pro because she didn't have what they called a killer instinct. I just remember reading or hearing that story. Didn't have that killer instinct. Sometimes we have to really have a desire for the kingdom of God. Really have the desire to run this race. How much of a desire do we have to run this race? Sometimes we get bogged down. How much of a desire? I might ask that question. How much of a desire do you have to run this race? You know, our goal is, of course, to finish the race. Matthew chapter 10, and verse 22. Matthew 10 and verse 22. Our goal and our desire is, of course, to finish the race, to be determined, to compete in that sense. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Says, and you shall be hated for my name's sake, But he who endures, again, we're talking about endurance race, endures to the end, will be saved. So we want to finish the race, don't we? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is an interesting opening sentence. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We have to have a real endurance and desire to run this race and to finish this race. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. I return and saw under the sun that the race is not always to the swift. Not always to the swift. It's not always who's the fastest, is it? We're not talking about, you know, competing with one another. Sometimes we get into that, we can get into that mindset that we're like we're in competition with one another. We're not. We're not, are we? We're not in competition with one another at all. Our desire is to help one another finish the race. That's our desire. It's not to beat somebody in this race. So it's not a competition in terms of getting there first or getting there instead of. Our desire is to help others. The competition is not against others. So the race is not always to the swift nor the battle to the strong. We're neither, are we? We're neither. I certainly am not. We're neither swift nor the strong. We look to God, don't we, for any speed. We're in a speed-driven world. You know, we live at the speed of the internet these days. You have to be careful what you tell people because, you know, everybody finds out. And sometimes when there's information to put out, you have to be very careful who you tell. Because it ends up on Twitter or Facebook or whatever some of those social medias are. And the information can get out way ahead of when you want it to get out. So we live in a speed-driven world, but our battle is not. The battle is not always to the swift. It's an endurance race, really, and we compete. We have to be determined to run and finish this race. And the competition is not against each other. We're here to help each other. How much do we do that? I'd ask that question. How much of a desire? Is there anybody you wouldn't want to help in this race? Is there anybody that you wouldn't want to help that you feel like, you know, you're competing against? We've had, you know, in the church and historically, we've had competitions. We've had, you know, over the years, people who have catapulted themselves into offices. We've seen that. It never doesn't work out, does it? I don't think any of us want to be in a position or in an office that God doesn't want us in. And if God wants us in it, then we'll be in it. And so we have to, you know, we're not competing against one another is the point. We need to be determined and endure in running this race that we're on. And the goal and the prize is a wonderful prize. Point number five, take regular nourishment. Take regular nourishment. You know, in a 26-mile race, in a marathon, you know, they have to have some nourishment, don't they? It would be very difficult, for instance, to run that kind of a distance without, you know, being hydrated, without having water, for instance, without, you know, having maybe some Gatorade, electrolytes or something, maybe a candy bar or two. So we have to be hydrated, don't we? We have to be hydrated. Drink juices. Drink lots of water. We've got Pentecost coming up, and we'll talk a little bit about water and the importance of water. Without that, without nourishment, without regular nourishment, we won't finish the race. We won't finish the race, will we? We won't go all the way to the end of the race unless we're regularly nourished. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we need regular nourishment. And we talk about that frequently. We read about it. And all of us do take regular nourishment, don't we? We all do these things. We do and have regular nourishment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Therefore, do not lose heart." So Paul here encouraged the brethren not to lose heart. So we have to have a heart and a determination to run this race. You know, as we've come out of Egypt, and as we're, you know, in that period of time now between the days of unleavened bread and Pentecost, we have to keep running this race, and we can't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Day by day. So we have to continually be renewed. We have to continually be nourished. Day by day. We have to take nourishment. You know, we have a friend who's a former colleague who's very ill. And she hadn't been able to eat for like 4 days. And then she had a medical procedure done, and then she was very hungry. You know, we get hungry, don't we? We have to be renewed. We spiritually the same way. We have to be renewed day by day, every day. So we have to do things like pray and study. That's why we put a lot of emphasis on that. Pray and study, renewed day by day, every day. You know, fellowship. Fellowship. It's a wonderful blessing we have here at Sabbath services, that we have the snackies after services, and I'm looking forward to a cup of coffee here in a little bit, and that we are renewed, you know, in fellowship, that we make phone calls to one another, don't we? We help each other out in that way, that we make phone calls to one another, we help and serve each other. You know, I know it's a wonderful thing. I know that if I had something that I needed help with, I could call a number of you. And you, what would you do? You'd come and help me, wouldn't you? I need help tomorrow shoveling snow. I'm kidding. But I know, frankly, if I asked you, you would come. Now we try, not to take advantage of one another in that way, but we do. We help each other and serve each other, don't we? We come to services here. Sometimes we take this for granted. All these tables are nicely covered with tablecloths, and they're put in. Everything's in order. The PA is set up. We have brethren that come in here on the Sabbath morning and set those things up. And we have the ladies that bring us nice snacks. We serve one another, don't we? That's part of running this race, part of being nourished. We also sit here and we pray for one another when we have difficulties. And, you know, that's part of being nourished, isn't it? Part of our nourishment is that we help one another out. We serve and help each other. We fellowship together. It's a wonderful blessing of running this race together. So we make encouraging phone calls. We, you know, plan to visit. We participate in activities. One of the things that we have a difficulty somewhat in this church area because of the size, the numbers of us, the age variance, is we have difficulty sometimes scheduling a lot of activities. We do have a couple of summer Friday afternoon evening picnics coming this summer, and we've got an ice cream social ahead and various things, but If you have ideas for activities, then please let us know. Let Mr. Moore, Mr. Guy, Mr. Roop, myself, that kind of on the leadership team, let us know if you have some ideas. And feel free to, host those in your home if you want to. Sometimes that's an enjoyable thing to do as well, to have a few people over to play games or whatever the case may be. Just, have a hamburger together. All those things, the prayer, the Bible study, the fellowship, we help and serve each other, phone calls we make to one another, the visiting with one another, the activities we do together, all those things nourish us, give us nourishment. And in order to run the race effectively and complete the race, we have to have nourishment, don't we? Hebrews chapter 13, we have to have continuous nourishment as we run this race. Just like a physical race or an activity that we do physically, we have to be nourished. Spiritually, we have to have nourishment as well. Let your conduct, verse 5, be without covetousness. I'm working on a sermon on covetousness. I was going to give it, planning originally to give it today, but it didn't come all together for me. But that's a thinking. Covetousness is kind of a thinking commandment, isn't it? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so it's important always to remember where our nourishment comes from. It's important to remember that we have help, that we can call on God, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that we help one another, we nourish and encourage and help one another, but our real nourishment ultimately comes from God. Point number 6 is simply finish. Finish. So we have a number of things that we've looked at: motivation, training, equipment, competition, nourishment. And now we need to finish the race. We need to endure. It takes a lot of perseverance. A lot of perseverance to finish any race. Even a 100-yard dash takes all these things, doesn't it? Takes motivation. Might end in a few seconds. What, they running 4-4, 100-yard dash? I'm not sure anybody in this room could run a 4-4. But, it takes effort, doesn't it? Takes motivation. Takes a lot of endurance to train for any race. Any athletic sporting activity takes all of these elements. And in our race, it takes a lot of perseverance as well. We discussed the fact that we've been doing this for a long time. It takes perseverance, doesn't it? I'm sure in our lives we've all had opportunities, and Satan has thrown little things our way that distract us. We've all had opportunities to turn a different direction. And many of our friends, unfortunately, have. It takes a lot of perseverance, a lot of endurance to keep running the race, to stay with it, and to keep running the race. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap. We're going to reap, brethren. We're going to reap Daniel 7:27. We're going to reap that. In due season, though. Not Sometimes we would wish for it to be tomorrow. And then sometimes we would, you know, maybe our lives are comfortable and we would wish for it not to come for a while. But every day we should pray, we do and should pray, your kingdom come. So Paul warned here, do not be weary. Don't grow weary. That's a growth process. We can grow weary while doing good. For if in due season you will reap, if again you do not lose heart. So we can't lose heart. We have to keep going and not grow weary. Well, brethren, we've made a commitment, haven't we? We made a commitment to live God's way of life. We came through the Red Sea at a point in our life, and we're running a race that requires for us to be motivated. It requires for us to train. It requires the right equipment, a determination, a heart. We call that competition. It requires us to have proper motivation, or nourishment rather. And then we have to keep going, endure, finish the race. So, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? We can learn from that. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, God gives a good explanation here that we can learn from. As we run our race. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2 says, and you shall remember. So we're to remember this. That the Lord your God led you. God is leading us. In this race, God is leading us. The Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so God is testing us, isn't he? He's testing us and humbling us to know what's in our heart and to know whether we will keep his commandments or not. Let's continue to run with endurance the race that is set before us.